Hi, welcome to another episode of The Lord's Delight. Today we are going to talk about conflicts. What I mean about that is when you face situations that are not exactly comfortable. So the first one that we are going to talk about is in 1 Samuel chapter 24, where David is sparing Saul's life. Yes. God chose Saul to be the first king. There was a transition from Samuel, a prophet who led Israel to kingship, which was Saul. But then he disobeyed God and God rejected him, and then God chose David. So Samuel ended up anointing both of them. Knowing this, both of them knew. Saul knew that David was the chosen one after him to be king. David knew God had anointed him through Samuel to be king. So this conflict is for that kingship. Knowing both, Saul was not willing to give up. He was like, I need to preserve this for my lineage so my son Jonathan can become king after me. And David knew, he's so close with God, he knew he was going to be king. He knew what God had said. Still, he was not willing to put his hand on Saul. Saul tried to kill David numerous times. Tried to kill him with a spear when he was playing the harp. Multiple times tried to kill him. But David, he's a warrior, right? God gave him strength and smart enough to kill Goliath. However you want to call him. And he defeated so many armies for Saul. So if he had taken a stand and fought against Saul, he probably would have won. But look at the way he's handling this conflict. He is running for his life. And then this particular 1 Samuel chapter 24. And then if you look at it, he's running, and where Saul goes in, and then relieves himself, or he's in there. Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. After this, he feels so conscience stricken for having cut off a corner of a robe. Not even hurting Saul. He actually says to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord. Knowing Saul was going in his own thing, God rejected him. Knowing all that, he still says, he's my master, the Lord's anointed. I will not put my hand on him. Look at this conflict. He's running for his life, but so unwilling to hurt a person who one time used to be the anointed of God. And David goes out of the cave and he's actually talking to Saul, saying, my Lord, the king. He didn't call him names. And he says, why do you listen to other people when they say David is bent on harming you? You can see that Lord delivered you into my hands. Other people urged me to kill you, but I spared, saying, I will not lay my hand on the Lord because he's the Lord's anointed. Look at the piece of robe in my hand. And he is saying this, and he is telling, may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me, but my hand will not touch you. He acknowledges the fact that Saul is doing David wrong, but he will not avenge him. But he's saying, my hand will not touch you. May the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me. From evildoers come evil deeds, so my hand will not touch you. So let's say, look at this in context. Some man of God or some woman of God, some person who might have been in God, not anymore. Let's say if they are harming you, how do you react? Look at this conflict. Like, David is suffering so much. He is in the right. But he still says, you were Lord's anointed at one point. My hand will not touch you. And guess what he says? The Lord will avenge the wrongs you have done to me. So when we are in a situation like this, when we have people seriously coming against us, how do we handle? Do we handle it like David did? The second conflict I want to talk about is in Judges, chapter 16, sort of towards the end, right? So here, the two people involved are Samson and Delilah. Here the conflict is, he's a man of God, she's not of God. And if you look at how Samson is handling the gift or the secret that God gave him, she keeps repeatedly asking him, what is his secret? He gives a lot of wrong answers and she finds that it is wrong. And finally, because of the nagging, he gives in. Here the conflict arises. He knows, you have to be beyond dumb to see that she's trying to sabotage you at every turn. But here, he chose to be with the person who is like that. It's not the first time itself he's telling her the secret. So many times he gave her the wrong information and finds out that she has set him up with the Philistines. The conflict here is, she's not truly caring for him. And he doesn't seem to care that his calling, that God had called him to be a judge, raised him up to lead and save the Israelites. He puts that secondary to this person. Finally, he just tells her the truth, even after seeing her sabotage him time and time and again. In modern world, this is what we would call a toxic relationship. He prioritized being with her more than being with God. And we knew what a lot of disastrous end that it leads to. But this is a thing. A lot of people don't look at it as conflict, but I do, because conflicts with when God has called you to do something, you don't associate or go bond yourself with people who are trying to sabotage that very thing. You need to have discernment of what to tell people like that and where to draw the line. If not, it will end in conflict, which later on completely led him astray from God and loss of his eyesight, and then he had to come back and beg God. So the second conflict is, one person is of God, one person is not. If you don't know your boundaries with people like that, even if in a relationship, this is why you don't get unequally yoked. It will lead to conflict. And finally, this is a beautiful conflict, if I may say so, and even if it's like a oxymoron of words. Paul confronting Peter, and this is in Galatians chapter 2. So when Peter came to Antioch, Paul had to oppose him for what he did was very wrong, because when Peter first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised. But afterward, when some of his friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. So, as a result, Peter's hypocrisy was followed by other Jewish believers, and it says that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. So this is hypocritic, right? And this was not right. Peter, to whom Jesus said, "The rock on which I will build my church," is doing this wrong thing. And Paul confronts him. And that is the beautiful thing, right? Here, it leads to reconciliation and change of heart for one person. And these are two strong men of God. So when a conflict comes, they don't shy away. They don't say, "Oh, I will not talk to him again. He's backslidden." No, one confronts the other on the issues because of this one person's behavior, hypocrisy. Whole load of believers and other leaders being influenced. Paul stood up and confronted Peter. That is the beautiful thing. So he's saying why. He's talking about the gospel. He's telling them, hey, is this not a right thing? Like, what is the right, if you're, this is what you're doing, there is no need for Christ to die. There is just passion, and like passionately like confronting. And yes, their relationship was not damaged, like it led to reconciliation. That is the best possible outcome that could have of a conflict between two believers who are strong in God. And you might think, hey, it happened in the Bible, can it happen in real life? I will tell you what, I have seen this happen in real life. I used to be part of a church which had two people leading it. And the thing is, in certain things that you might have different convictions, I'm not talking about doctrines. Doctrines wise, they were the same. Here it's a doctrinal issue, but the one I'm talking about, the example, is a conviction issue. So they do believe differently about certain convictions, because again, I always believe your convictions is, God gives you those convictions because it's very closely related to your calling. They had very different convictions on one topic, and guess what? But they were able to work together beautifully, and I saw that in person, and they had such respect for each other. So, if two people are in God and a conflict comes, one, God will help one person speak up and step and confront the other. And if it is of God, right, it will beautifully end in a reconciliation. So, remember that for any conflict or difficult conversation, though it's not easy. Paul confronted Peter, but this was done publicly because it was very crucial to be done. So many people were being led astray. But this conflict had ended on a good note. So we saw three examples. In first one, in which one person was of God, the other person was of God, but backslidden. In second one, one person was of God, the other person was not. In the third, both were of God. You see all these different responses and outcomes. Think about the conflicts that you have encountered. How did that what was the outcome? How did it turn out to be? And so later on, when conflicts do come, you can always go back to the Word of God to see how you can respond. Talk to you guys next week. Bye.